So today is our guest speaker call for the Body Love Alchemy private community. And today we have Renata Reese, and she is a relationship coach. Her website is getrelationshipsright.com. And I'm excited for us to have Renata here today, because she uses a modality where she really, really works on the root cause. And you guys know me very well that I totally dig working on the root cause, because what I know to be true is that when you work on the root cause, it's no longer a struggle, it's no longer a fight, it's no longer white-knuckling, it's no longer forcing. It just happens naturally when you have revealed the root. So anyway, super excited to have Renata here today, and she has prepared an awesome class for us. So Renata, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we'll jump right on in.
Okay. So my name is Renata Paris. My website is getrelationshipsright.com. And Christy, thank you for inviting me. I know we've been planning this for a while. I'm pretty excited because I know that women that deal with food issues, a lot of times relationship issues go hand in hand. In fact, I don't know that I have ever met a woman who has stuff around food and self-esteem that doesn't have relationship stuff as well. So I'm hoping that this opens some eyes and some hearts and contributes to the people in your community. So just a very brief little bio on me. I have been a relationship coach for 15 years. I was sort of at the beginning wave of coaching, and so I've been doing this for a very long time and have worked with very many clients. And just like Christy, just like you said, exactly, I go to the core of what drives issues, and we'll get more into that and why I do that as we get into the class. But when clients work with me, they become unrecognizable to themselves in a good way.
Love that.
Not in a bad way. In a really, really great way in relationships, they become unrecognizable. So what I want to talk about today is how you get there. So first of all, why we tend to have relationship issues and dating issues, and then kind of what drives that, what to do about it, and how to become free of those so that you can have the relationship you want. So would you say, Christy, would you say that most of the women, is it all women? Is your community all women? Is that right?
Absolutely all women, yes.
Okay. Okay. And would you say most of the women in the community are in a relationship or married, or is there a mixture of
We have a very mixed bag. It's very,
okay,
very, very
good.
Diverse in that regard.
Okay. So then as I'm talking about the class or the information in the class, I will be addressing both single women and women in relationship or marriage. Okay, so the title of the class is Why Dating is Hard, Your Relationship Does Not Work, and What to Do About It. So so let's talk about why dating and relationships are hard. Because I think the reality is when we think about, you know, when we're growing up and we imagine ourselves as women one day married and having kids, and many of us fantasize, right? We're playing the princess and some of us are playing the princess and the white knight comes and gets us. And some of us just imagine a partnership, a lovely relationship as little girls. We do not imagine the struggle, the strife, the difficulty that people in most relationships deal with, the conflict, the wanting things and seeing that your partner can give it to you really easily, seemingly, and not getting it, the arguments, the hurt feelings, all of that. We do not imagine that. So we all have a sense of the relationship that we want, the kind of relationship that we crave. And yet the reality is often very different. And that causes us a tremendous amount of pain and disappointment. Right, so this is a pain as opposed to what we actually want. So here is why there is pain. Our relationships are subconsciously modeled on whatever it is we experienced in our childhood. So yes, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go back to our past. And the reason I said, yes, I'm going to go there is because a lot of people, when they're working on their stuff, whatever their stuff is, I'm sure it's the same with food and eating, but on relationships, I hear this from clients all the time when we first start working together. Well, I don't want to talk about my childhood. That was in the past. It was fine. Don't worry about it. I just want to know how to attract the right guy, or I want to know how to make my partner do what I want him to do. The reality is, our relationship patterns. Yes.
I think it's so interesting that you say that, because what I hear a lot is well, I've been in therapy. I know what my problem is. And so a lot of resistance in that sort of arena, as well as that people have already talked through their past and they're sort of tired of digging around in that.
Right. And you know what? I'm really glad you brought that up. So let's just address that right now. So our patterns for eating, functioning, communication, a lot, relationships are all set very early, often before we are verbal, okay? So when you go to therapy and you dig around in there and you find it and you talk about it, what happens is you know about it then. But how many of us know about how to stay fit, how to stay thin, how to make money, how to make friends, right? We all know things. So just because you know something doesn't mean you have the capacity to execute it, to actually take the right steps without white knuckling, to naturally take the right steps. And that's why therapy, in terms of changing relationship patterns, is ineffective. Because in therapy, you know, you understand, if you are in therapy long enough, why you do what you do. But it does not help you change what you do often. Or if there is change, it's very incremental and small. So you can definitely change in therapy, but it will not be fundamental. It will not be unrecognizable. And in fact, in some ways, therapy is almost harmful because it makes you even more frustrated. So it impacts your self-esteem even more because you know what you're doing. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you can't stop yourself.
Yeah, like what I say is you get to a point in therapy where it's more like stewing in your story than anything else.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. What talking about the past is not so bad if you talk about it as an inquiry, right?
Right.
Which is what
right.
I do with clients. You talk about it as an inquiry, but then you do something about it. And but that's not what happens in therapy. You are expected to get better in the process of inquiry. That doesn't work. It doesn't work with these deep-seated issues, these kind of foundational things about our lives. Now, therapy is effective because you can, you know, you have a person who's sitting there and listening to you, and they're committed to you for that hour a week or, you know, whatever, and they're compassionate, and that's healing and loving and wonderful. But in terms of actually making changes, it's not very effective.
I agree.
So what I do, well, it's just not, but I guess I'll say that. What I do is I use different techniques to actually extinguish things in the past, to fix them, to change them, to heal them. And so then we look in the past not to hang out in it, but to actually find the root cause. So anyway, this is why dating and relationships are hard, is because we can be thought of as computers. And our computer program for how to do relationships was created before we were 3 years old. So it's unconscious. It feels natural. We don't know any other way. We might observe other ways that people do relationships. They won't even register because our brain is designed to sort for sameness as a way of dealing with all the information in the world as opposed to difference. So we only sort for sameness. And because our relationship patterns are patterned on our parents and their relationship, given that, you know, we are all living in 21st century, most of us are 20th century babies, our parents were probably fairly dysfunctional. Even okay marriages. Right? Right? I mean, show me a child whose parents were not dysfunctional. Or here's the other scenario, really healthy child-focused parents to the point where the child comes out into the world and the world is a vastly different place than that nest that was created for them. That also creates a patterns of difficulty or, you know, set up for a relationship that creates dysfunction and pain and disappointment. So basically, as human beings, we can't win. Our parents are dysfunctional. Our parents are not going to give us everything we need. So it's not even about pointing the finger and blaming our parents, although some should be pointed at and blamed. But it's just realizing, and this is a part of a human process, is that we are wounded in our childhood. All of our needs are not met. And so this is what we base relationships on. That's why there's relationship pain, is because even if we try to become conscious about what we're doing in relationships, it's very, very hard because it happened extremely early and it's very hard to get to and change. And so what happens is, and this is not just my opinion, you know, if it was just my opinion, you could just dismiss it. But it actually is most of the experts in the field of relationships and marriage, and there's a lot of marital research because there's an epidemic of divorce and single parents and all that drama. Most of the experts believe that we meet and date and marry our parents.
Mm.
Now, if our parents, right, if our parents weren't healthy, or the opposite of our parents, so either our parents or the opposite of our parents, so if our parents weren't healthy, then, you know, what kind of relationship would we end up with? Now, so Christy, I'm going to ask you a personal question just to, you know, just to kind of prove my point. So I know that you are in a great marriage now, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. But this is not your first relationship. So did you...
No, this is not even my first marriage.
Okay. Did you marry your parents or the opposite of your parents in your first marriage? Or your dad or your mom? Yeah.
I did. I married, my first husband was a drug dealer and totally cracked
Fabulous.
Out on drugs.
Good
it was awesome.
Choice.
Yeah, like
I'm sure.
I remember like going with him to pick up like pounds of pot and like how
wow.
differently my life would have turned out if we would have been caught doing that. After we divorced, he did get caught selling drugs and went to prison. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But yes, my father is an alcoholic and prescription drug addict.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there you go. So you did. We were talking about why we struggle in relationships. So I think what I want to say at this point is it's not your fault. So you, the people, the women out there listening, your relationship issues, your dating issues, they're not your fault. So that's one, because it's not your fault that your parents were the way they were and they modeled what they modeled. But it is your responsibility, if you want to have a healthy relationship, to do something about them. And the doing something about them is never about changing other people. So the thing is, it seems to us, and this is natural, this is how we function, this is how the human brain functions. It seems to us that when we have dating relationship issues, the problem is not ourselves, but out there, right? So there's no available partners if you're single, or there's just all the men are lame, or all the men just want to get laid, or whatever the deal is. You know, it's all the men out there. There's no good men where you live. By the way, I hear that from all over the world. There's no good men where I live, which is just not possible. Or there's no single men where I live. So I don't know where the thousands and millions of single men are hiding, because statistically there's lots of them, but there is none where you live. So I hear that. Or if you're in a relationship or married, even though it may seem that your partner is the problem, and in fact, he might be a problem, but he's not the problem. The problem is how you perceive relationships, how you function in relationships, what you are set up to expect, what you are set up to create, is all being run by things you learned and assumed and took in when you were three. Now, you also need to understand, and this is actually physiologically, biologically, research proven, that all these things are laid down by around three. Now, the sad thing about human beings is, you know, the perception of a three-year-old is very inaccurate. The three-year-old might be looking at fairly healthy, functional parents and still perceive a lot of dysfunction. So it is extremely important that you do, that you work on your relationship beliefs, your core relationship issues, because it's very unlikely that they are accurate in any way, shape, or form.
Hey, Renata.
Yes.
Let me make sure I understand you correctly. You said that even if the relationship is healthy, the three-year-old may perceive it as unhealthy?
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, do you have kids, right? Don't you have kids?
No, I don't. But
I was
just thinking about, because one of the things that I talk to my people about a lot is that before our prefrontal cortex is fully developed, we don't have those abilities of perception and cognition that we do as adults. And sometimes we make things mean things that they don't.
Yep, exactly. I mean, you know, you have, what three-year-old have you met that has an accurate view of reality? Right? And for whatever reason, so, you know, this design of a human being where things are laid down for the rest of our lives by three is kind of crazy, but it is how we function. So it requires for us to be conscious, to become conscious. That's the powerful thing. You know, if you are going to have healthy relationships, there is no choice. You have to become conscious about what runs you, what choices you're making, how you're contributing to whatever pain you're experiencing, what other choices are available to you. You have to expand if you are going to have healthy relationships. Or you don't have to. I mean, you could continue to not be satisfied in relationships. Or you can continue to make incremental small changes where things get slightly better but never really end up being what you want. And relationships are always then a place where you are hungry and wanting. And
right.
I'm using that word hunger on purpose.
Right. I was going to say it's exactly the same in the relationship with food. And one of my primary focuses is self-love and self-acceptance. It's the same in that regard as well. You've got to bring that stuff, those hidden beliefs, you've got to bring them out into the light.
Right. Exactly. And then you got to do something about them. You got to actually,
right.
And you know, this is what I work with clients. This is what we do. We don't just look at them. Okay, well, that's what you believe. All right, then, on your way. You know, we challenge them. We open them up. We do EFT. We do timeline therapy. We do whatever it takes to shift and open, because you have to become a person with a lot of choice. You want to be able to have the finesse to make infinite amount of choices in any situation, when it comes to food, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to anything. You want to have all the buffet of choices available to you. That's one of the ways you make relationships healthier and create what you actually want. Okay, so before I move on to, I also want to talk about why relationships are disappointing, and I actually touched on that. But before I dive more into that, is there anything you want to ask me about why relationships are hard?
I I think I'm on the same page. If anyone who's on the line has a question, you can press *6 to unmute your line, and you can ask your question. We'll hold out for a little bit. And no? Okay.
All right.
So let's move on.
Okay. So the reason that relationships disappoint is, again, just to touch on this again, not only do we tend to get into relationships with people that are like our parents, right? So that already is a guaranteed dysfunction. But then we tend to behave in ways that we observed our parents behave. So it's like dysfunction on top of dysfunction, which is sort of a double whammy. And sometimes, often, in fact, what people will do is if they're dating, they will actually attract a fairly healthy partner, but they will tend to behave in ways that create dysfunction. So they will turn a healthy partner into more like their parents, more like their partners in the past, just by the way they behave.
I can relate to that.
So does that make sense? Well, give me an example. You said you can relate to that, because otherwise I'll be having to come up with an example. Better you do.
Yeah. So like in the beginning of my relationship with my husband now, I think that I displayed a lot of my mother's tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like using this terminology, but for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it neediness.
Okay, great.
I used to ask my husband a whole lot. I needed him to really affirm that he loved me, and I needed him to not just affirm it, not just tell me that he loved me, but I would really question him. And not from that playful, lovey-dovey, oh, tell me why you love me place, not like that, from that, like, I don't believe you. I need you to convince me that you love me.
Yeah. And of course, you know. Sorry. Go.
No, I was just going to say, and you know, that's something that I had to, that's one of the things that I had to work through is I guess you could call it a trust issue or a love issue. I don't know what you would call it, but that was in the beginning of our marriage. That was, you know, because my husband was very loving. He's always been very, very, very supportive and all that stuff. And it's exactly what you said, is I took a person who had the potential to have a healthy relationship with and repeated some of those same old patterns.
Right. And you know what's scary is we don't even know we're doing it. So it's not as if we're observing ourselves. I mean, even having been through therapy, this is the thing, right? And again, it's not like I'm knocking therapy. It has its place. It's just that it doesn't fix this stuff. So you do this stuff, and then you get a result, and you have no idea how you got there. Like, how come this really loving guy is not loving anymore, and all of a sudden he doesn't want to spend time with me? What the heck is going on? It must be him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the more enlightened people will go, it must be me, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to stop this. So the other thing that I want to say, though, especially given what you just said, is it's not that we have to be needless in order to have a healthy relationship. And this is very important, because a lot of times women think, well, in order for me to be in a relationship, I need to have no needs. It's my needs that are driving men away. Men can't meet women's needs. And so that's, you know, that's the problem. That's not the problem. Right? Christy, your need for love was just fine. Need for love, affirmation, they're normal relationship needs. In fact, that's why we have relationships, is because we are pack animals. We are group animals. We have to have relationships in order to survive.
Right.
And
like
we have
I typically frame that as being we are interconnected, like we're
right.
dependent on relationship.
Right, and we have to be. I mean, this is, you know, there's been studies done with babies who didn't get enough love and stimulation and connection actually don't grow neural pathways. And studies done with people who are married in a relationship and in a good relationship live longer. I mean, we are biologically wired to be connected. So we are biologically wired to have relationship needs that we should absolutely bring to the relationship table and should absolutely expect our partner to meet. The problem is the needs you were bringing to the table are not appropriate relationship needs, right? They need to be loved and affirmed, yes, but they need to... have your partner go above and beyond normal to kind of fill you up because you had stuff from your past.
I would also interject that I wasn't rooted and grounded in my own self-love either. I was looking outside of myself.
Right. Which is, yeah, you know, I just wrote an article about self-esteem, and that's about self-esteem. When we don't have enough self-esteem, we look for other esteem, but it doesn't last.
Right.
It's like a drug. You know, you inject it in, it goes away, inject it in. Right. So appropriate relationship needs should absolutely be met. And if your partner is not meeting your appropriate relationship needs, then there's a problem in the relationship. And either you chose the wrong partner or what you do in the relationship is creating a vacuum where needs are not getting met. But being needy and dysfunctional creates more dysfunction. So I think it's really important to say. So we don't need to be needless.
Right.
Tony
that's
Robbins
why
said something.
That's why I don't like to say I was too. That's why I don't like to use that term.
Right. Right. I got you because it gives this message that you should not have needs, which is very
right.
false. You should absolutely have needs. But
right.
it's different being dysfunctional. See, just because it's okay to have needs does not mean it's okay to need anything that you need because, you know, this is not your parent. I mean, a 3-year-old can go, do you love me? Do you love me? But an adult woman can't. And it was your 3-year-old or 5-year-old that was doing that.
Right. Right.
And it is not our partner's job to parent us. There are techniques to heal those childhood wounds, and that is our job. So what I want to share with you and your people is a quote, and I'm going to completely butcher it, but Tony Robbins has this really great DVD program on relationships. I don't remember what it's called, but somewhere in there he talks about that when you are looking for a partner, what you are actually doing is you're hiring someone for a job. And your relationship quality will be as good as the person you hire. Just like, you know, if you had a secretarial job in your business or in a company you were working for and you hired someone who had no secretarial skills, it would be a major bummer because they wouldn't be able to do a job. So if your requirement in a relationship is a high level of communication, for example, and you choose a partner who doesn't communicate, that's going to be a major problem. The other thing we do in relationships that causes us a lot of pain is this is exactly what we do, right? We find a partner who is not a fit to our relationship requirements, but we decide that love is what will make a difference. You know, so once he falls in love with me, he'll give me whatever I want. He'll give me time and attention, communication. He'll be more generous. He'll be whatever. And that never works because people are who they are. They are stable, generally, unless they're working on themselves and deeply working on themselves. They're stable. They are who they are. They can love you. A man can love you, but if he does not like a lot of togetherness time, he will not give you a lot of time. A man can love you, but if he doesn't like deep communication, he will not give you deep communication. He will love and adore you. You might be the love of his life, but he will behave the way he behaves. It will not change. So those are all the reasons why we're in pain.
Lots of reasons.
So then, lots of reasons, exactly, which mm-hmm. is why relationships are hard to unravel. But, you know, just like any other area of life that matters, right? Money's hard to unravel. Self-esteem is hard to unravel, but it's worth it. It's worth the investment in ourselves because we deserve to have an amazing life, right?
Absolutely.
We deserve to invest in ourselves and have amazing relationships. And it is possible. It is not some mystery. It is not happenstance. And it certainly is not luck. That is not how you create a good relationship. So, what to do to create the relationship you want? So, as I said, the core issues, the reasons we behave the way we do in relationships, the reasons we attract the people we do, the reasons we create the dynamics we do has to do with our childhood. So the way to really change this is to become conscious of what runs our relationship patterns, our relationship behavior, our relationship choices. So you have to go very deep into your past and hopefully find the core issues, the core events, the core beliefs that are running the current dysfunction or things you don't like or things that you want to change. And the deeper you reach to make those changes, the more permanent and automatic the changes become in your real life. Because when it comes to relationships, you want to naturally be healthy. You want to naturally relate to people in such a way that they respond positively and lovingly to you, right? You don't want to have to work on it and white-knuckle it. Not that it's even possible to do that, really. So when I work with clients, I go all the way back. I mean, basically, it's an interview process. I take their history. I don't take a very long time. I have a way of sort of laser focusing. I'm sure the way you do, Christy, you and I talked about this, right? A way
of some laser beams.
Right. A way of kind of seeing where is that stone that needs to be turned. And then what you have to do is, you know, you just have to work on that until it changes, until it goes away. And how you know that it changes is that all of a sudden you are behaving differently and you watch yourself and you go, huh, I've never done that before. How is that possible? I've never said that before. I've never felt that way before. And that's how you know the changes are taking place. That's how you know you're hitting the right issues, and that's how you know that you are on your way.
So, Renata, you may be getting to this, but I'm just curious of what about the pattern of being unable to attract a relationship to begin with.
Right. I wasn't going to go there, but I will go there. It's not a problem. When people can't attract a relationship, what is really driving them is fear. And it is not fear that they're necessarily aware of. It's probably subconscious. It's probably about having been betrayed or having been hurt and about a decision that was made that it is better to be alone than to be in a relationship.
Mm.
Which means that two things have to be done when people experience that, because you can't take away the fear first. It will not leave until you address what it is trying to remedy. So what actually has to be done with what I do with clients like that is we go in the past and we look at their relationship pattern and basically what it is that caused them so much pain. We change the relationship pattern first. I then train them in healthy relationship behavior so that they can trust that no matter what the relationship situation is, they will be able to take care of themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say I coach based on the 12 universal needs.
Mm-hmm.
And often what I see is that the need for safety is unmet, and that's what's driving that. That fear is letting you know that,
right?
Is telling you that it's not safe.
Right, and often people feel very unsafe in relationships because relationships feel like this area that is completely unknown. You meet somebody, you don't know who they are. If you have no training in how relationships function and no work on your own stuff around relationships, you are going in blind. And it feels terrifying. It feels terrifying. Will this person take care of your needs, take care of your heart or not? You know, and even as you get to know them, it still feels terrifying because you have no bearing. And this is how most people go into relationships. They sort of throw caution to the wind, or they try to, but internally they can't because we are safety-based. I mean, our whole brain is designed, the way we filter our information, the way we function, it's all about safety. It's all about survival. I mean, of course, we want
right.
to survive. So the way to address those safety needs, you know, I actually, with people who can't attract a relationship, we do a lot of work because we have to put in a lot of different things for them to feel safe. But as a result, they become very skilled at being able to tell who they're in a relationship with, whether the person is safe or not, how to enter a relationship in a safe, loving way, how to say yes or no, you know, how to make good choices, how to appropriately move into a relationship, all of that stuff. And then they're able to start attracting partners.
Love that.
So that's how that works. Okay. So if any of you would like to know more about me and how I work, you can go to my website, getrelationshipsright.com. And I do offer an introductory coaching session, which is just $49 if you want to experience what it's like to work with me and if you want to get some clarity about what's running your dating or relationship patterns. That's what we do in that session. It's actually called a Get Clarity session, and it's a half an hour laser-focused coaching session where we get to the core of what is up with you and what you can do about that.
Guys, thank you so much for being here, and thank you, everyone.
All right, Christy, thank you so very much.